The scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22, excuse me, Matthew, yes, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. It's the New Living Translation, and it's also in your bulletin on page 3. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God.
These last few weeks, we've been talking about how Jesus once described himself as bread. Bread that had come from heaven. He said that when we take that bread of his life into us, into our hearts, in the same way that food, that material bread comes into us and metabolizes in us and turns into vitamins and nutrients and goes throughout our bodies and makes our bodies strong, makes us able to do things. That his bread of his spirit coming into us, into our hearts, in the same way goes throughout us and makes us able to do things, to change us from the inside. Jesus changes us from the inside. We talked about how Jesus, his life goes through us and into us comes his compassion, his kind of compassion, a compassion that's deep, a compassion that is wide, that is unrestricted, that goes out to all people, a compassion that is rooted in love, love for all people because, simply because, they are stamped with the image of God. His compassion. His bread, as it goes into us, as it moves through us, gives us his confidence. A confidence in God. A confidence that comes from trusting that God knows us deeply, knows us deeply, and loves us enough to walk before us in our lives, walk beside us to help us, to walk behind us to lift us up when we fall down. We gain that confidence as Jesus' life grows in us. As Jesus' life grows in us, we also benefit from his courage. A different kind of courage, though. It's the kind of courage that can make us able to step out. To step out into places where we maybe never thought we would go. And do things that we never thought we could do or would want to do. And do so in Jesus' name. Because of Jesus. To do things that maybe even we think at this point are impossible to do. When I was a little boy, my brother and I, we used to run down to the pond that was on our ranch. Every morning in the winter, we'd run down there and we'd see if the ice was thick enough for us to skate. And the only way to test it at the beginning was to take sticks and stones and stuff and throw it out into the center of the lake. And if at some point they didn't go through, well, that was good news. But now came the big test. We'd have to step out. One step at a time, slowly going towards the center of that pond to see if we could be supported by that ice. And we did so. We took those steps, always listening for that telltale pop, that sound of the cracking of the ice that would warn us, that would be an alarm to us that somewhere this ice was too weak, somewhere this ice was breaking. And we needed to know where that ice was breaking and go the other way. Get off there as fast as we could. When we hear an alarm like that on the ice, it's a good thing to listen to that alarm and run the other direction, right? But you know what? It's not so true in our Christian life. It's not so true in the life of the church. Sometimes when we hear alarms, God's asking us to lean into them. Lean into the storm. There are lots of alarms going on in our world today. We hear about it, right? Something like 40 million people are displaced right now because of the wars that are occurring in the Middle East and in the northern part of Africa. Some 4 million of those are streaming right now as we speak, walking towards Europe, trying to find a place to just live with their children safely. We hear those alarms. We hear the alarms. Coptic Christians and other ancient Christian communities are being moved out of their ancient homelands, places where they've lived since apostolic times. And sometimes those people are killed, they're murdered. We hear the alarm. We hear the alarm as pastors and believers in Muslim countries are imprisoned because of their faith, because they dare to share their faith in Jesus. We hear the alarm. We hear the alarm as even here in North America and parts of Canada and parts of the United States, people are harassed because their conscience won't allow them to do anything but adhere to what they believe is the plain meaning of Scripture. So we hear those alarms. We hear the alarm of people, church ladies, church men, who were gunned down in prayer, do you remember? Because they were black. Thousands of the unborn are destroyed because they're inconvenient. Families live in cars because they're poor. And people of all kinds are despairing because they don't know that God loves them when no one else does. So we hear these alarms. We hear these alarms, but what can we do? We know that as individuals, as a church, you know, we can't do everything. We can't be everywhere. We can't help everybody. We can't. But what we can do, with the courage of Christ, what we can do is sincerely look into ourselves, sincerely pray, and sincerely ask ourselves, what breaks our heart? What breaks your heart? And then take the sound of that breaking as an alarm. And not an alarm to run from, but as a call to lean into that pain, to lean into that place. And with the courage that comes from Christ, go. Go there. Do something. Whatever we can do. It's our call, it's our mission. As we, as the church of Jesus, as we travel across this lake that is life on this earth, as we travel that lake towards the shore of his heaven, that's our job. It's our job. You know, the church has often seen itself, and I think it's worthy to think of ourselves today in much the same way as those disciples felt and saw themselves as they traveled on that little boat that day in the across the lake in the reading that we heard today. They'd been asked by Jesus to go across that lake by themselves. And so they took off alone without Jesus. Now we know, and probably they knew too, that Jesus had gone off by himself to pray. And we don't know exactly what he was praying about, but I don't mind speculating. I think he was probably praying for them. I think he was probably praying for those disciples the same way he prays for you and me today. In the same manner that he prayed just before he gave himself up for each one of us. As recorded in John when he said, "Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy in your truth. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." Jesus was praying for those men in the boat, and he's praying for you, and he was praying for me. And I think he was praying that those men in the boat would respond with courage to what was coming. To what was coming later in the life of the church, but also what was coming in real time right then as they reached the middle of that lake. For Jesus knew there was a storm coming. A big storm. And it would rack their boat. It would toss their boat. That a huge wind would come against that boat. And that the alarm of that storm, the alarm of that wind would be whistling in their ears. As for hours, they would agonize and struggle against those winds. Jesus knew, and he prayed, that indeed they would be tempted to abandon the will of their master and turn that boat around and catch that wind and go back to the shore. But Jesus also knew that at that fourth watch, when things seemed the darkest, when the storm was at its worst, they would see what they thought was a ghost pursuing them. It would add to their terror. But then they would see it was Jesus. Jesus doing what only God can do. Walking on the surface of the water, treading beneath his feet the danger, the peril, the evil of that storm. Treading it beneath his feet. Doing what Jesus does. And as he approaches that boat, Peter stands. He stands in the storm. He stands with that wind blowing against him. He stands in that storm. He leans into that storm and he reaches out for Jesus. Reaches out. We hear the alarms all around us. We hear the alarms all around us. We hear the whistling of the wind. We hear, we see the storms raging. Those big storms, those heart-breaking, world-shattering storms like we talked about before, but also the littler storms, the storms that are no less heartbreaking, that are closer to home, people that we know, people who we love, who are struggling with addiction. People we know, maybe one of us, struggling in a marriage that is being devastated by financial difficulties, being eroded by jealousies, by old hurts, by mistrust, by neglect. We know of children who are drowning in a culture that robs them of their innocence all too soon. Children who find it very hard to make friends and impossible to avoid bullies. Children who need someone to come alongside them and say, "I'm with you." We hear the alarms. We hear the alarms. But even as we hear those alarms and as we see those storms raging around us, even as we grapple with what we can do, we in this place, as the people of God, we in this place, as the people of God, must affirm, we have to affirm that we are in the right position to respond. We are the people who can respond on the strength of that prayer of Jesus, who believes in us. We are the people who need to respond in whatever way we can. Respond first by standing up the way that Peter stood. The way that Peter stood. Leaned into that storm, reached out for Jesus, and heard Jesus say, "Do not be afraid. It is I. Take courage. I am here." And Peter hears that. He says, "Oh Lord, tell me to walk out to you on that water." In other words, tell me to do that which seems to be impossible, and I will do it. And Jesus says, "Come." Oh. He says, "Come." And on the basis of that one word, Peter throws away all his doubt. Standing on that one word, "Come," Peter lifts his leg and he puts it over the side of that boat, and he feels the water lashing up onto his thigh. You know he feels that is squishy, that is not firm, that is real water beneath him. But on the basis of that one word, "Come," he lifts his other leg and he puts it over the side of the boat. And on the basis of that one word, he takes his fist and he releases it from the bow of that boat, and he does what's impossible. He walks out on that storm. He does what Jesus does. He treads upon that evil. He treads upon that storm. And oh yeah, his faith flags. He begins to sink, but Jesus pulls him up and saves him. Saves him to be courageous for another day. And in that moment where he walks out there, where he does what seems to be impossible, he inspires all those disciples who are in the boat. He inspires all those disciples who will come after him. And he is imbued, he is filled with this courage of Jesus that will hold him in good stead in the storms that will come. And boy, will they come. But he's ready. He's a disciple. He leans into that storm. So what breaks your heart today? Oh, I'll tell you what breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that there are families today, right now, right in this area where parents are asleep and the children are watching TV. Sorry, that breaks my heart. Families that could be together worshiping God, understanding that the whole family is under the authority of a loving God. It's a beautiful thing. A basket in which to raise a family. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart that some of those children will grow up and maybe not know that there is a God out there who loves them even when it seems that no one else loves them. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that some of those children and maybe even the parents, who knows, will become so desperate for love and begin to look for it in all kinds of places that will yield only emptiness. Breaks my heart. My list goes on. What's your list? I know you have one. I know you have one. Because every single one of us is led here today by the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us has the Spirit of Jesus inside us, and it is impossible to have that Spirit of Jesus living inside us and not begin at some point to begin to feel that compassion, His compassion that is deep and that is wide and that's rooted in love for people that we may not even know. It's impossible to have that life of Jesus living inside us and not feel the confidence of knowing that God is in this thing, that God is leading us, that God is walking beside us, and that God is ready to pick us up. It's impossible to have that love of Jesus living inside us, to have that life inside us, and not feel a yearning to lean into that which breaks our heart. To at least have the yearning. And then maybe even take those steps. Maybe even take that step to reach out and in His courage say, yes, I'll go, I'll do something. Even if it seems like it's impossible right now, I'll do it. We are a privileged people to be on this boat, with God, going across the life, the lake that is this life on earth with a purpose and with a mission and with a vision that comes from God, not only of what we can do today, but of that far shore where we meet Him. And He says, oh, you did it. You reached out. You made a difference. We're privileged today. Jesus prays for us today. He prays for us the way He prayed for His disciples in the past, the way He prays for us. I've sent them, O God, into the world, same way You sent me. I send them. He prays for us. And then He prompts us. He says, come. Come. But He does it all wrapped in this beautiful promise, doesn't He? This promise. Take courage. Take heart. Take action. I am with you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we do come before You this morning. We come before You as Your people and as Your disciples. Lord, help us to understand what breaks our heart. And let it be an alarm for us that we don't turn from, but that we lean into. Help us find what those things are for each one of us and as for us as a church. Help us know the steps we can take. And then, oh God, help us respond when You say, come. This is our prayer, dear Jesus, because we're Your people. We ask that you give us the courage to pray this prayer and then to follow it wherever it leads. In Jesus' name, amen.